Helen, thank you so much for joining us here on Biz News. Let's just start with why you have decided at this juncture to go back into frontline politics.
I just feel there's a job of work to do. It's a very challenging job of work. I'm always up for a challenge. And I think my whole life has been preparing me for this challenge. So I put my name in the hat and I competed with everybody else. I had as tough an interview and as tough a process as everyone else. And I was lucky enough to get the nod.
Can you give us a little insight into who you actually competed with?
Well, I don't know if people really want their names out there, but it's been very clear and in the public domain that Melinda Etchezenjoku, the current caucus leader of the city of Joburg, put her name in the hat too. A number of other people put their names in the hat. I can't remember everybody's names, but I think probably Belinda is the best known, and she's a very competent councillor and very good. And there were some outsiders. We always cast the net very widely, and some insiders, and that's how it worked.
Helen, some of the critics out there are saying that this is a move away from the DA's strategy to diversify leadership on racial lines and from a generational perspective. How do you respond to those detractors?
The DA has one particular policy, and that is to get the person most fit for each particular job. That is the DA's policy. And sometimes we appoint a very young person, like we did in Umgeni with Chris Pappas in 2021. He came through a very rigorous process, competed with others, came out tops at the age of 29. And everyone said, oh, you can't have such a young mayor. What does he know about how to run a municipality? He's been absolutely excellent. The DA's policy is to look for the people who can do the job. And there's no diversion from that policy.
I was listening to an interview, an exclusive interview that Mandy Wiener did with President Ramaphosa on her book, The Deal, and that's about the negotiation of the GNU. And in that, Ramaphosa specifically mentions you, and he says that there's a blurring of lines of leadership in the Democratic Alliance. And in fact, his words, you are the Iron Lady, and that actually you are the key decision maker, and it's not John Steenhuisen. How do you respond to Cyril?
These are extraordinary myths that get built up. In the DA, we have clear job descriptions. I am the equivalent of the Secretary General of the party. Now, it's true, a Secretary General has a very big role to play and has a lot of power over the organization per se. And there are many, many departments in a functional political party. So, for example, there is an election function, which is enormously important. There's a candidate selection function, which is different, but also enormously important. There's a communication function. There's a marketing function. There's a fundraising function. There's a management of the governance units function. There's a policy function. And all of those functions in the DA have departments. They have systems and processes that get run. There's an excellent chief operations officer called Liana van Wyk, and she and I work on managing the organization. So absolutely, Cyril is right that we do have a lot of power, but John is the political leader. He is the key person driving our role in government, and they are complementary roles, not competing roles.
Cyril goes further to say that he's very disappointed that the DA operates as an opposition party in the coalition rather than as a partner. Again, I'm going to ask you how you respond.
Well, we're very disappointed that the ANC hasn't realized that we're a partner, never consults us, never respects the statement of intent, has never applied the sufficient consensus clause, violated our agreement even before the ink was dry by unilaterally inviting other parties into the coalition, not honoring the proportionality clause. So if they don't want to act as a partner, and if they think that we're only there to bring up the numbers, they're going to find that we draw the line and hit back hard.
Let's come back to Johannesburg. And I appreciate you allowing me that segue. I had just listened to Ethel's interview. But let's talk about the first 100 days. If you are elected mayor of Johannesburg, what do you see those first 100 days being clearly about?
Well, I've got a lot to learn still. I did an enormous amount of work in preparation for the interviews that I had. because obviously I had to really get into understanding the budget, understanding the organogram, understanding the systems. The most important thing for a mayor is to understand the budget in great detail, understand the integrated development plan, how the money is being spent, and why it's not being spent on the priorities, which is developing new infrastructure and most especially maintaining old infrastructure. And in that period, I hope to realign the budget in line with the critical priorities of infrastructure, development, and maintenance. I hope to understand from the Auditor General where all the weak points are for corruption and mismanagement and the bleeding of billions from city coffers. I would like to really understand the procurement system and where it goes wrong and how it goes wrong. And at the end of that kind of process, then you understand what you can achieve by when and to build the foundation of partnerships on which to do it. Johannesburg is blessed by having a wonderfully strong network of civil society organizations and private sector organizations who all want the city to work, many of whom are really working hard in many different spheres to get the city to work. All they need is a mayor that will get behind them and work with them to do that. And I will spend my first 100 days doing that.
What lessons can you take from your time as mayor of Cape Town and perhaps also your time as premier of the Western Cape, Helen, and deploy directly into the Johannesburg fault?
The lesson I take is that you've got to listen and learn. You've got to devise a plan that you bounce off experts. You've got to know what your objective is. You've got to formulate a way to get there. You've got to mobilize your team behind you. And then you've got to take bold decisions and move in the right direction. That's the only way to do it.
Do you think that your brand of leadership and further your political brand is going to resonate with the broader Johannesburg electorate?
Well, I can only put myself out there and say I have a track record of trying to fix things and of getting quite a lot done. I think this is Johannesburg's last chance. I think this is Joburg's last chance. I really do. And if people want to try and rescue Joburg, they know what to do. They must make the DA the biggest party by a considerable margin. And then we have a chance of doing it.
And the coalition politics, it's hugely complicated in the environment when it comes to Johannesburg. How do you think about tackling the coalition politics that have perhaps been the detrimental aspect of how Johannesburg has been governed to this point with that revolving door in the mayoral office?
Well, that's a question, Bronwyn, you have to ask the voters. Because complex coalitions are a result of how the voters vote. If the voters are going to split their votes amongst all kinds of tiny parties, then I can tell you now, it is as predictable as the sun rising in the morning that you will have a revolving door in the mayor's office. There are only two parties that can become the biggest party in Johannesburg after the election. One is the ANC, obviously, and the other is the DA. Currently, we are polling at greater support than the ANC in Johannesburg. That's good. But if voters want us to get a solid base, a firm foundation for governance, they've got to make us the biggest party by a long way and not put us in the terrible position of having to rely on 7, 8, 9 tiny parties to stay in office. And inevitably, when that happens, those tiny parties gravitate to the ANC because the ANC is prepared to offer them things that we aren't prepared to offer them. And we're not prepared to offer inducements and other things in order for people to support us. So inevitably, when voters split the vote amongst tiny parties, they get the ANC back in office with a whole lot of hangers-on. So the question you have to ask to the voters is, are they serious about rescuing Johannesburg? And if they are, they know exactly what to do. They don't have to like me. Lots of people don't. They don't have to like the DA. They just have to love Joburg to do the right thing.
You've got just over 12 months in terms of the campaign that you are going to roll out. Give me a sense of what you are getting ready for as you embark on this campaign.
Well, I've got a lot of very good people at the moment working to identify every organization and civil society enterprise and business that is adding value to Joburg in whatever way. In water, in electricity, in road markings, in maintenance, in whatever way. And I want to meet them and I want to listen to them. because many of them have put a lot of thought into Joburg and probably know more about Joburg today than I do. And so I've got to learn a lot from a lot of people, and I will spend the next 12 months as an avid student of the state of affairs in Joburg and possible solutions for its crisis. Then I will speak to the experts, we will devise plans, and hopefully when we're in a position to govern, we will be able to have a strong enough foundation and a few enough coalition partners not to have a revolving door so that we can boldly implement our plans.
Political scientist Frans Cornier-Hellen says that this is perhaps one of the most masterful political moves he's seen in South African politics, specifically by the Democratic Alliance, in that if you do become mayor of Johannesburg and you do rectify the situation, that lays a very positive trajectory for the 2029 broader election and national leadership. Your response?
I think Frans reads the political terrain very astutely, and I have taken his analysis very seriously for many years. It was essential for the DA to break out of the Western Cape fully and firmly. I genuinely believe that the DA is all that stands between South Africa and total failure. But then we can't just rescue Cape Town and the Western Cape and a few municipalities like Midvaal, Umgeni, Kocha and others. We have to get a really firm foothold in the most populous province that is still the financial powerhouse of South Africa, and that is Gauteng and specifically Johannesburg and the other metros like Tshwane and Ekurhuleni. That is the next great frontier. And if we can do that, we will be well on the way to rescuing South Africa as a whole.
Before we go, I do just want to talk about the G20 and the arrival of many international players into Johannesburg in November, a huge brand building opportunity globally. But Helen, at this juncture, perhaps one that is going to be sorely lost.
Well, I can see a lot of work happening in Johannesburg along the routes on which I'm sure the G20 leaders will be going. I went to Soweto twice over the weekend, and I saw the route into Dobsonville past Orlando, which looks good, looks very good at the moment, and I think it's been cleared up very nicely. I also saw the president's cavalcade going in there, probably for some events associated with the G20. Unfortunately, his cavalcade was about 20 cars long and stopped every entrance and exit off the highway. It's all this pomp and ceremony that I'm absolutely allergic to. But nevertheless, there's been a big cleanup there, and I think along the main routes along which the G20 leaders will be going. The thing is, also passing through Alexandria, your heart wants to break. I mean, that is a complete and utter shambles of a mess. That doesn't mean to say there aren't ghastly places in Western Cape or Cape Town. There are, when people migrate to the cities and build a shack on unserviced land, it's very, very difficult to catch up with the services that people need. So there are inevitably places that need a lot of attention and a lot of service delivery. The point is that we've got to get that done, stop stealing the money, stop spending it on vanity projects, and stop spending it on projects that ANC cadres invent in order to extract money from municipalities to get rich. We have to put contractors on the job who can do the job, who don't walk off the job halfway, who ensure that they have the capacity to finish the job on budget in time. That is what we have to be able to do, and that is what we'll get on with doing under a DA administration in Johannesburg.
Helen, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us here on BizNews.
It's always a pleasure, Bronwyn. Thank you.